Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Good morning. This is Abe Thompson at New Cyber Frontier. I'm hosting here on this preeminent podcast. Hello to all of our friends out there in cybersecurity world. I'm podcasting from the SecureSet Academy campus here in Colorado Springs. It's our distinct pleasure today to have a SANS faculty fellow and SANS instructor, Mr. Sotis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are at the at that level there at SANS, and kind of tell us a little bit about the organization itself as an education institution, we'll go from there.
Sure. So I started out a while back as a teenage hacker, just learning about computers, hacking, you know, hardware and software, doing a lot of stuff with my Commodore 64 back in the day.
Yeah.
Got a degree in electrical engineering. And a degree in information networking, and I started working for the phone companies doing penetration testing as well as incident response. And then based on what I learned there, I started doing some pen tests for financial services companies and so forth, some government agencies, even the military, started doing some red teaming work with them. And then SANS invited me to do a presentation at an event back in 1999. And the presentation went pretty well, so they asked me to write a course for them, and I wrote a course called SANS Security 504. It's a course on incident handling and hacker attacks. And the course grew. It's actually, depending on the given month, it's SANS number one or number two courses. It kind of flips back and forth with one of the other courses. And then a few years after that, they asked me to write another course, which is on penetration testing. It's just focused purely on that. That's SANS Security 560. And so I teach for SANS about a dozen times a year. I'm also the curriculum lead for all of their offensive classes. So we have the web app pen testing courses, and we have courses in mobile device testing and wireless pen testing and all that kind of stuff. So I am particularly focused on the offensive arts. I find them very fun. Honestly, I always say to people, it's easier to be offensive than defensive. Offensive, I just got to find one way in. From a defense perspective, you got to defend against all the different ways in. I find it easier.
I was going to say that's a brilliant perspective for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, the whole point, the whole reason we do the offensive stuff is to help people defend. And we can never lose sight of that. I would say to red teamers and pen testers and even hackers, if your goal is not helping the defense improve its status, you're just not doing it right. You've got to relentlessly focus on helping defenders fight the good fight. That's why we do red teaming. That's why we do pen testing. And if you're not achieving that goal, you're not doing it right.
And you know what you're talking about too really requires a community response or an industry response, because of course, everybody hears pen testing, particularly my students here at SecureSet. They're very interested in penetration testing. And typically when I ask, what would your passion be? Which area of the industry or domain would you like to get into? And they'll often say, pen testing is the first. And, it's one of many definitely very few people have sort of cornered the market on every discipline. So I like your approach of, coming at that from both your experience perspective and education perspective.
Thank you.
Indeed. And so SANS has really obviously placed some great trust in you as the curriculum lead. Talk to me sort of your approach in developing courses. What are the important and key points to ensure that there's a retention of content?
Yeah. So hands-on skills to do the job is what we really, really focus on. We need to make sure that you walk out of the class with specific things that you can do. And each of the classes is structured around that. You know, we have these little things. You will be able to. So the idea is when you leave the class, you'll be able to do these things. And our class is really focused on hands-on labs, so that it's not just theory, it's not just by PowerPoint, but instead is, you know, you have to have some theory, you have to have some, you know, lecture, but moving as quickly as we can to practical usage with hands-on labs. There's something called the SANS promise.
Sure.
And what that is SANS saying that, you know, the stuff that you learn in class, you'll be able to apply directly the day you get back to the job. And we analyze not only every class that way, we analyze every course module, every hour of classroom material, every lab, and frankly, even every slide. I look at every slide and say, does this help fulfill the SANS promise?
That's what we're trying to get to. Yeah, this is critical. And let's take a quick break for our sponsor, and then we'll come back and kind of camp on that discussion of the hands-on.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And this is Abe Thompson coming to you on the podcast, New Cyber Frontier. I'm podcasting from the SecureSat Academy campus here in Colorado Springs. Our guest is a SANS faculty fellow, eminent. Mr. Sotis, we were just talking about this tremendous importance of, and really the greatest impact in education, this hands-on learning, and your desire to see folks come out the door with an ability to do, not just talk about what they do. Something that's you know, certainly critically important to me too as an educator here in the cybersecurity space. So if we could carry on that discussion, then your discussion of the SANS promise.
Sure. So I think that's one of the really big things that is needed in our industry. That is workforce development of people with hands-on skills. And that's not just about, you know, SANS classes and things like that. It's a broad-based approach of getting education into, say, junior high schools, community colleges, and you know, four-year colleges and beyond, also into the general workforce. So I mean, this is a big thing, the cybersecurity workforce. And one of the tools that we have associated with developing those hands-on skills across a wide range of skill sets, ages, and capabilities is these challenges, or something we call Capture the Flag, CTF, the acronym used all the time. I'm sure you've heard it.
Absolutely.
I love this. I recognized about 10 or 12 years ago that there's a tremendous amount of learning that can happen in a Capture the Flag event. I've been doing Capture the Flag events myself, playing in them for about 25 years, and then actually writing them for about 18 years, writing Capture the Flag events. And it's just a tremendous way to learn. It's essentially, now the terminology people use is gamification.
Absolutely.
It's gamification of cybersecurity learning. And when people hear Capture the Flag, they often think offensive. It's pen testing. You're capturing flag. But it's not limited to that. You can do all kinds of different things associated with flag. You could do a forensics analysis to try to determine a flag. You could do open source intelligence. I just got back from DEF CON just recently, and there's a brand new OSINT, open source intelligence, Capture the Flag.
It becomes really a neat community draw as well, just for folks in the cybersecurity community to come together. We actually do a live event. Everybody's in the same room. They get to talk smack and eat pizza and have teams and go against one another. And, you know, we have one in the Linux. We have a new steganography variant. And it really does do exactly what you're saying. It draws out sort of the heart of learning, because they're actually doing what they might do as they enter the cybersecurity industry, and adding, you know, adding a bit of fun to it. And so that's really, really worked well for us here at SecureSet. In fact, it's also a way that we help folks practice their skills maybe once they've graduated, as they're you know, hot and heavy into the job market, for sure.
Exactly. And you know, we do commercial classified events called networks. And networks is really kind of the thing that keeps this company that I formed called CounterHack going. So CounterHack develops this networks professional grade capture the flag event, and we run that at SAM conferences every year. We do that at about 50 different SAM events. We also run it at RSA conference. We run it at some B-sides event. So that's our big one, and you know, it's one that that people pay for. The people who pay for it are usually SAMs or you know, RSA and so forth, not the actual participants. The actual participants are there as part of their conference you know, fees. But we give one away for free every year. It's written by my same team, and that's the one called Holiday Hack Challenge. And this one, we spend over 1,000 hours working on. And essentially, every year, we've done this for 15 years now, we create a little Christmas world. And the Christmas world is in turmoil because it's being hacked for some reason. Mm-hmm. Something's going on there. And every year, it's different. There's a video game component, so you have to walk around in this little video game environment. There's I commission an album from recording artists, usually rappers or DJs in the hacking community. I commission an album from them, so you got custom music that comes out from it. And then some of the highest quality hacking challenges we can create. That's what we put in a Holiday Hack every year. And then a big storyline. And the story, the one that we had in 2015, and we keep them all up, so people can go to the 2015 Holiday Hack Challenge right now and still play. I pay thousands of dollars a year in hosting to keep these things up, because they're essentially professional quality cyber ranges.
Right,
all wrapped
absolutely
up in a fun Christmas message, and they're all up. And I'd like to just share a little bit of what's happened in past years, because we got the new one, and you can actually start on the new one now. We actually, you know, earlier in the year, we're not waiting until December, we're starting the 2018 one now. But what happened in 2015 is a company called Atmos Corporation released a toy called Gnome in Your Home. It's kind of like Elf on the Shelf.
Right, perfect.
And they sold 2 million of these things, supposedly. This is our storyline. They sold 2 million of them, and you bring this little guy home, and you plug him into the wall, and he plays 8-bit holiday music. And then a couple little kids discover that there's packets streaming from their Gnome, and we give you the packet capture. We give you, they slice open the Gnome and they pull out the firmware. We give you the firmware, and you have to figure out what's going on. And there's this vicious plot of the bad guys who released this doll. They're taking streaming video of everybody's house so they can send burglars to steal all their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. And you have to figure out who the bad guy is. And it turns out it's Cindy Lou Who, age 62, the little girl from The Grinch.
Oh, yeah. That's fabulous.
That was 2015. In 2016, another thing happened. Santa Claus gets kidnapped. And you have to figure out who kidnapped him and why.
That's just
and
wrong.
And if you do this, you go up to the North Pole, and you wander around the North Pole, you get into a time-traveling train that takes you back to 1978, and you have to investigate and try to figure out what's going on. And it turns out that Doctor Who kidnapped Santa Claus because he needed Doctor Who's magic to suppress the release of the Star Wars holiday special in 1978. Because, I mean, that was just a terrible thing in the universe. Doctor Who wanted to set that right. So anyway, that was 2016. Fill up. You can time travel to 1978. The 2017 Holiday Hack Challenge, there are these giant snowballs being thrown down the mountain of the North Pole, and they're smashing things up. You got to figure out who's throwing these snowballs and stop the snowballs from being thrown. And you have to figure out, you know, why it's happening. And it turns out it's the abominable snow monster who's throwing the snowballs, because he's actually been mesmerized by Glinda, the Good Witch of Oz. She's attacking the North Pole in this way because she's trying to incite a war between Oz and the North Pole, because it turns out the Munchkins and the Elves are actually the same people. They were split due to a great schism hundreds of years ago. Anyways, it's the backstory of the you know, why reindeers fly and why you know, monkeys can fly and all that kind of stuff.
I tell you, If people aren't already sold, I mean, you've captured just about every genre, every component there, and you know we cybersecurity folks, some might call us nerds, but we do have our appreciation for fantasy and sci-fi, so I'm already sold.
So here's the deal. In 2018, Santa says enough is enough. I mean, the last 3 years, we have had holiday supervillains trying to destroy Christmas and the whole holiday season. So Santa Claus is holding an event. It is a live virtual conference at the North Pole, and everybody in the world is invited. He's calling it KringleCon. So you can go right now to KringleCon.com. It's up. And you can register for a seat at this event. It's totally free. And there's actually some Easter eggs and little things that you can find at KringleCon.com. It's KringleCon, KringleCon.com.
KringleCon.
And the idea here, yep, Santa Claus is hosting a conference, and he personally asked me to tell you about it so that he can figure out what's going on. He's trying to invite the security community around the world, as well as hackers, together so that we can all learn. And there's going to be presentations at KringleCon. Dave Kennedy, the amazing guy who runs DerbyCon and the guy who founded TrustedTech, he's going to be doing a presentation there. I'm also inviting a whole bunch of other speakers. So you can go to KringleCon for free. You just take it right from your browser. It'll be in December, but you can register now and start finding little things there. And, you know, maybe Santa Claus will appear at KringleCon and do an opening talk, that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. Once you get to KringleCon, about an hour or so in, you'll maybe see a talk or two, something like that. Something's going to happen.
And let's quickly take a break for our sponsors. We'll come back and finish that story.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Hi, this is Abe Thompson here at SecureSet Academy here in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier. My guest, Ed from SANS, he's a SANS faculty fellow, is completely captivating me with this story of KringleCon, the Christmas or the holiday hack challenge. And you said at one point, Ed, that something happens. Let's hear what's happening next. You got me rapping now. This is fantastic.
So, there you go. You have to come and see it. So there's going to be custom music that'll be playing. So you'll get there. You'll work your way through the line that we have, in front of KringleCon. You'll get your badge. And then you go and you start being talked. And you can also interact with other people. You'll be able to chat with people worldwide. We want this to be social, interactive. We want it to feel like you're at a conference. If you go to KringleCon.com right now, you can make an avatar. And then you can actually tweet out your avatar, so you say, hey, I'll be at KringleCon, here's what I'll look like. And you can shoot your head and your torso and your leg, and everybody gets shoes. Why? Who knows? Anything can happen, right? So you choose your leg and your eyes and all that kind of stuff, and then we automatically save your avatar in our system so that when you log in December, that's what you'll look like, and everybody will know what you look like if you tweeted it or something like that. And you'll be able to walk around at KringleCon and solve puzzles and challenges. We have some villages there. There's probably going to be a crypto village. We're still working on the details of that. But like I said, after about an hour or so, something's going to go down there, and you're going to have to figure out what's up and solve the mystery and see who's behind it.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's kind of a fun thing to have these sort of puzzles and mysteries, because obviously it gives you, analysis, right? You got to figure out what's going on. There's some offense in it. You got to hack some things. There's some defense in it. You got to stop some hacks. Analytics, and then even ultimately attribution. Who's the bad guy? To figure out it was Cindy Lou Who a couple years ago, or Doctor Who, or Glinda the Good Witch. You have to unravel a whole bunch of different levels. But this, this is a really important thing. This takes us back to what I mentioned earlier in the show, the fans promise. We give away holiday hackathons for free because we want to do this service to people around the world.
Sure.
Even kids. Little kids play holiday hackathons. We love that. We want to get them started. But we're always focused on not having puzzles just for puzzles' sake. Each thing that we create in Holiday Hack Challenge instills specific cybersecurity skills, from understanding ciphers all the way up to writing zero-day exploit. I mean, the Holiday Hack... Oh, and we put up the answers for all the previous years. So if you want to see the answers for Holiday Hack Challenge 2015, Gnome in Your Home with Cindy Lou Who, all the answers are up there. Plus, you can play along while looking at the answers. So we do this. It's kind of our holiday gift to the community, but we keep it running year-round, so you can play anytime. And we get about 10,000 people a year that play. My dream is to get it to 25,000. Some people think I'm a little crazy to contemplate that, but we need so many more people doing cybersecurity. I mentioned earlier that the fundamental problem we have in cybersecurity, the fundamental problem, is not weak crypto or badly written code or this or that. We don't have enough people with the skill set.
It's workforce.
It's a workforce problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you resonate on a point that's, you know, definitely a passion for us, because, you know, our model here is not just getting somebody educated and kicking them out the door. Our big focus, the only outcomes we celebrate are the outcomes when someone actually has a job offer, when someone gets through there. And so, you know, that big dearth, you know, just in Colorado alone, we're close to 10,000 job openings in cybersecurity that are unfilled and don't have ready people to do them. And so, you know, that even here in Colorado Springs is around 3,100. And so it's a critical issue. It requires this diversity of a community. You know, we're no longer eating Cheetos in our mom's basement. We are from all walks of life. We have all different interests. And you hit on something that is also essential. And you talked about wanting this to be social. That means a lot to me, because what I'm finding when folks are entering the industry, yes, they can have skills, but what's getting the jobs, honestly, still, you know, and this is maybe hard for us cybersecurity professionals to hear, is still soft skills. We still have to be able to communicate, to reach out, to connect, because in the end, we are still people doing this work. And we're addressing a real Grinch on the other side who's got motivations and adversarial approaches. And so I think you are truly onto something. I'd love to see you hit that goal.
Absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned, you know, 10,000 from Colorado. And if you look, you know, over the entire country, hundreds of thousands of people are needed. And, it, you know, in government agencies, military, and in the commercial sector, really desperate for people, but they got to have the right skills. So we're doing the multifaceted approach here. We've got, you know, Holiday Hack, which is for people, you know, that can't spend any money. We really think hard about how can we build Holiday Hack so that you really don't need much infrastructure at all.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to set up a server. You know, you need internet connectivity and a browser. I mean, that's what we're focused on. Maybe you don't even have, you know, enough for some, you know, fancy system or anything like that. That's fine. You're trying to make it playable on reasonable hardware. And free or open source software. But that's for Holiday Hack. Then, of course, we have things like dance classes and you know, Santa's establishing various academies and such to help pull people like veterans, you know, who've served overseas, to get them some free training and such. So we're doing all kinds of different things, but the fundamental end-of-the-day problem is how to get more people with these skills.
Yeah, absolutely. Because right now, someone will walk into an interview, say, and, you know, I'll take my students, for example. Prior to, some of them who've tried to break into the industry, they'll walk in because they've had a quote-unquote education, and they'll walk into an interview and say, hey, I heard about, I was taught, they showed me, and I know this part about the OSI model. But what's actually transformative is when they can then walk into an interview after a hands-on, balanced theory and practical learning experience and say, I built an application on a LAMP stack. I hardened it. I patched it. I red-teamed my neighbor's application. He red-teamed mine, and then we sat side-by-side and blue-teamed, and then we went into Splunk and Ubuntu and Wireshark and used the tools of the day, Logrhythm, et cetera, to actually do the work, duplicate real experience, because, again, that's the other challenge, is these people whine about having job openings and needing to fill them, and yet they turn their noses up at people because they don't, quote-unquote, have, you know, multiple years of experience. So something's got to give. Do you agree?
Right. I agree entirely. I also, one thing that it breaks my heart. I've seen this throughout my entire career. I've been doing cybersecurity for over 20 years, and people focus on degree. Oh, you don't have your bachelor's degree. You don't have your master's degree. Therefore, you're not right for this job. Give me a break. If you do the job, you can do the job.
Yeah.
I have about 10 people that work directly for me, and then at the SANS Institute, my curriculum probably has 20, 25 instructors in it. I couldn't tell you where most of them went to college. And I really couldn't tell you if most of them had degrees or not, because it's not that they don't care. That sounds bad.
Right.
But it's not a specific important thing to me. If you can do the job, I've got friends who are some of the world's greatest hackers. They have a high school diploma. That's it. And that's fine. I've got friends who have masters in mathematics or in English literature, and they're fantastic pen testers.
Hear.
You know, all walks of life, really, can do this stuff. And, you know, when I hear people say, well, you can't get in the door unless you get a bachelor's degree, well, forget about it. I don't want to go in that door. There's so many other opportunities.
It's a verbal door that's still closed. You know, and I'm an educator. You know, I taught all the way up to the college level. I fully believe in, you know, the brick and mortar institutions for their purpose. But how dare we limit our workforce to a certain set of specific principles there when we have a diversity of ability to bring folks in. In fact, you hit on something, of course, very precious to me. I'm a veteran. Chris is a Navy guy. So we're both former Navy. We appreciate the cause and sort of the experience of our fellow veterans. And you know, these folks that'll camp on a degree as the only way to begin are basically turning their nose up to some folks that have spent 20 years in the cybersecurity industry in our national defense. And are stuck in a paradigm. Again, our college institutions have their place, but do not tell me you cannot get this job done, because those folks have been defending our country for years with skills and ability that should be recognized as of equal importance.
Absolutely.
Not that you've got my hackles up or anything. But.
Right. Just like you, I don't mean to downplay the, you know, degrees. I think that's great.
Right.
You could do the job now and work on getting your degree in the evenings and
absolutely.
Such.
Absolutely.
But, you know, thank you for your service. That's you know, there's a lot of them. A lot of them have great skills. They were put in positions of trust while they were serving in the military.
Yeah.
And, you know, SANS established a program. I don't know if a lot of people know about this. I mentioned it earlier. It's called the Vet Success Program.
Yes.
Or the Veterans Academy. These are a couple different terms that SANS uses. And, you have to be eligible, and you go through a, you know, screening process and such. But it's to get SANS training to veterans as, you know, a thank you for their service.
Yeah.
But just as important, it's to help move them into the job force. So there's things like, you know, they do some career counseling and such as part of the Vet Success Program, so that they can, they can take their skills that they learn, take a skill that they have already, build their skills using SANS classes, and then get put into the workforce. So people can just do a Google search for SANS and Veterans Academy, and they'll find some more details on that. SANS also has a SANS Women's Academy to try to encourage more women to take, you know, cybersecurity careers, and so, you know, go through SANS classes with scholarships and such like that. So it's again just looking at different ways that we can build this workforce to solve that fundamental problem.
Sure.
Holiday Hack is maybe the most whimsical one of these.
Yes.
And weird, but it's fun. But there's also other very practical things. Like the Veterans Academy and the Women's Academy.
And you know as well as I do, there's no such thing as weird in the cybersecurity industry. Or otherwise we'd all be weird, right? You know, we're going to be rolling close to the end of our time here, but this discussion needs to continue, and I can probably set Chris up to think about that in the future. In fact, maybe I'll propose to him if he's listening to the podcast that we consider maybe even a live podcast or near-term podcast during KringleCon. I think that'd be kind of fun to kind of capture that excitement and hit our audience with that, maybe even leading up. Because I just really love your approach. It's unique, it's fun, and it's what our industry needs now. As we're kind of rolling toward the end, how much you want to summarize sort of your concern for getting folks in the workforce and next steps beyond KringleCon and some of these other things that you've got in place?
Sure. I whenever I meet with large numbers of cybersecurity professionals, I try to encourage them to this whole idea of paying it forward. You know, you've got some skills. Even if your skills are not hands on keyboard, you understand the industry and you understand either, you know, maybe the policy implications or procedures or wherever you find yourself in the cybersecurity community, share that knowledge with high school kids and maybe community college students. I find that the local community colleges are almost thirsty for me to go and do a presentation, maybe it's a lunch presentation, an evening talk. I do presentations at some of the local high schools just to get the kids interested and let them know that there's a real career path here, because fundamentally we do have to go to the younger people, right? They're going to be here longer than we are. And that's the long-term solution to this. We can do all kinds of great stuff with Vet Success and the Women's Academy and even how the Hat Challenge. But, you know, I'm hoping that there's a lot of cybersecurity people that are listening to us talk right now, and they'll say, hey, you know, maybe I should volunteer at that college or high school and do a little evening talk. It doesn't have to be fancy, but just kind of instill your knowledge, share it, pass it on. And then, of course, tell everyone to register for KringleCon.com because it's completely free. It'll be fun. Remember, it's a K in Kringle and C in Con, KringleCon.com. And you can do that now. No sense waiting until December. And you can also start looking around on that site because you'll find that there's some fun little things at KringleCon.com. I hope you'll register, right, for KringleCon.com?
Actually, I will, and I'm going to pass along to my students. Certainly, Ed, you put the K in Kringle, and you really do bring a delight through the medium of WMSE, in this case, to our industry. And I just appreciate where you come from, your heart for education. I share it. Ladies and gentlemen, here on the New Cyber Frontier, this is Abe Thompson. We've been with my guest, Ed, from SANS. He's a SANS Faculty Institute. He's also, a SANS Faculty Fellow. He's also runs the company CounterHack. And he's expressed to us some of his passions with regard to the workforce, with regard to the way that we can educate and bring more into this community. It has just been a delight to have you, Ed. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I really do appreciate the time and your kindness. Thank you.
Indeed. So don't forget, folks, that's KringleCon.com. Go there and have some fun this leading up to this Christmas season and do it in the cybersecurity way. I'm Abe Thompson. I'm podcasting here from the SecureSet Academy campus here in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.